We continue in our worship time. We're going to be reading from the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 8. The word can be found on the screen. Before I read, let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to meet in this place as a community of faith, to share with one another in life together. The joys and the concerns, the challenges and the celebrations. Lord, we are grateful we don't have to go through this sometimes challenging world by ourselves. And so we're grateful for those who walk with us and for your presence through the Holy Spirit. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day that your word might be proclaimed and we would hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served. Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Smell can be a reminder of the past and a preface of what is to come. A perfume, if you've walked into maybe a grandparent's house or family member's house or a friend's house, and you smell something, or maybe you go into another place. Maybe it's a department store. Oh man, evokes memories and evokes smell. Maybe it makes you think of someone you haven't seen in years. Maybe the smell of a certain baked good rising in the oven can bring with you the memory or the thought of something coming soon, freshly baked cookies, or maybe it's a holiday in which you are in the presence of someone you love. The smell, the sense of smell, evokes emotions and memories. The smell of the ancient world was strong and offensive. Deodorants, if we walk down the aisle today of Target or your favorite store, there are lines of different types of deodorants available. This probably wasn't the case of the scriptures. Bathing habits were maybe not as we take them today of our standard. There was no weekly garbage pickup service. Raw sewage flowed down the city streets, not through underground pipes to a city waste treatment facility. Daily life in the ancient world was filled with unpleasant odors. In this scripture, it says the gospel tells us that the fragrance of perfume filled the house. Something different, something new. Jesus was on his final route to Jerusalem. We know that in Jerusalem, the story will end with both tragedy and victory, where he's been proclaiming all along. We see in this morning's scripture, which is found in a few different places in the Gospels, Matthew and Mark places a story in the house of Simon the leper, and the woman who anoints Jesus' feet is unnamed. In Matthew and Mark, we also read that the woman anoints Jesus' head, a prophetic act anointing him king and Messiah in the empire of Caesar. Here in the Gospel of John, he places the story in the home of three beloved friends as Jesus stops in with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. I'm sure that Jesus has stopped in before to join them for a meal. Martha prepares a delicious dinner. The conversation uplifting, a great evening. However, this time, it's a little different. The scent of that good food and conversation is overcome with the perfume that Mary breaks and begins to anoint Jesus' feet with. The supper echoes earlier meals, signs of the inbreaking kingdom, and peers forward to Jesus' last supper with his disciples. In the first part of the Gospel of John, John the Baptist announces, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Unlike John, Mary utters not a word, but her extravagant gift towards Jesus is a faithful witness to a costly and extravagant act that's about to occur. The perfume was costly, it says. It wasn't just any type of perfume. It was an expensive perfume made of nard, 300 denarii, almost a year's wage, an extraordinary item being saved for something extraordinary, extravagant. Probably her own funeral or the funeral of a loved one. And so as Mary sits at Jesus' feet and listens to the others' conversation, she gets it. She knows what's about to happen. She knows that Jesus is going to die. She could comprehend and accept it, what the others could not. Suddenly, the future that was preparing for and using this prized possession, this perfume for, was the time was now. In effect, Mary tells us that she knows that Jesus must die. So she begins to comfort Jesus and herself in the present. She draws her attention towards Jesus, this expensive perfume. We probably don't want to admit it, but most folks would agree with Judas in this scripture. I mean, this costly perfume, why would you waste it? Why wouldn't you save it for something even more special? Why would you use it on someone who's like in this moment? It's kind of practical, right? Something so expensive, cracked open, wasted on someone's feet. Because once the expensive perfume is opened, it can't be used again. It was limited. It was a one-time resource. It couldn't be used again in 6 days when Jesus was going to be crucified. We were talking at the dinner or Tuesday about like China. People have China in their cabinet, and we don't use it. We have it there, and it's just there, and it's never enjoyed. It's never used. It's never brought out because it's so special. It's kind of like this perfume is something special, but Mary used it in this moment. Can you imagine the good that could have been done for the poor with this expensive perfume, Judas says? Try to imagine what our church could do if someone donated a year's worth of salary out of the blue. And I'm sure that's something we would think of kind of relating today. What was Mary thinking? 300 days' wages. Jesus did not take issue with this temporary nature of the gift. He declares it's appropriate for the moment, particularly in light of his impending death. He's gracious and with gratitude of Mary's gift. There are many gifts that we give that are not of last and that do not are not of last intangible way, do not last in tangible ways, sorry. Lots of extravagant gifts that we put into the air that soon evaporate. We receive them with gratitude, but then we can often forget the gift and the gratitude that we experience. The gift of a teacher who we've had in the past, or a gift of a choir, or a gift that we experience. It's a gift that we have. It's something that we need to remember. Mourners provide large arrangements at funerals of flowers as they grieve. They're a gift. Saints donate money to people who pass away as a gift. We do these things, and we do them in love, because love calls us to empty ourselves by giving costly things. That's what Mary was doing in this scripture. She was emptying herself, what she had to offer, she was emptying herself towards Jesus. The call of generosity leads us to reflect on the life of Jesus, who showed what it meant to empty himself. Throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus provides a blessed assurance: wine, fish, loaves, the call of disciples to fish on the other side of the boat. Wherever we see Jesus, we see this gift of abundance present. And so as Mary's moved to offer this amazing gift to Jesus, he tells those who are with her to leave her alone. Mary understands the sacrifice that's about to take place. And Judas can criticize Mary for what she's done, but the story exposes Judas. The Gospel of John cuts Judas no slack. As in parentheses, it says, revealing him to be a hypocrite and thief even before he betrays his Lord. The scriptures that were written so long ago says, leave her alone. She bought it so that she might give it to the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Over 2,000 years later, the words of Jesus still hold true. We still have those in need. We still have our role as the church to continue to reach out to the poor in the name of Jesus. That as we offer our gifts to Jesus, that they might be multiplied to help those in need. Here we are getting close to Holy Week. Next week with Palm Sunday, and then moving into the last week of Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. We live in the shadow of the cross, but we also live in the presence of the risen Christ. So here we have an invitation to daily walk with God to the table, to the streets, to our homes, and to show extravagant acts of compassion and generosity towards one another. Annie Smith, who began the Charlotte Food Rescue, was hauling a station wagon full of donuts to a food shelter. She stopped off to make a pitch to executives to what is now Bank of America. As she rode on the elevator to the top floor, someone said to her, "You smell like donuts." She laughed and told them why, and by the time the elevator door opened, she had recruited another helper in the mission. The fragrance of love's actions is carried on the wind of places we never see. Mary's anointing of Jesus, the scent of the perfume, the scent of brokenness and death, but also it was a scent of power, a king coming into his kingdom. Do we dare wear the same perfume as our Lord? When we are with people, do they catch a hint of our relationship and our presence with Christ? This is her final act to the Lord. Mary's not saving the good stuff. She's not keeping it locked away. But she's getting out the good china, the good silverware. She's getting out that jacket or that jewelry. She's using it in the presence, knowing what is to come. How's God moving you to empty yourself? In generosity. Today. That you might transform the world with the saving grace of Jesus Christ. The future is now. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together. We thank you for the ways in which you call us to empty ourselves in love and in grace, to be generous with who we are and who you've created us to be, in abundance. God, we're thankful for the ways in which you are at work in our life today. May we be aware of that. And may we share that with others. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.